What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Wildfire Podcast. Today on the Wildfire Podcast, we're going to be talking about the hobby of cooking. I'm a hobbyist cook myself. I know a lot of people that cook as a hobby, and I know a lot of people that want to start cooking as a hobby, but they don't know where to begin. That's what we're going to be here to talk about today, guys. We're going to talk about the importance of choosing a good knife set, the importance of choosing good pans, and just how to get people in the kitchen and cooking. Maybe you're a longtime cook and you just want to find a way to up your game a little bit, or maybe you just don't find it as enjoyable as you think you should, or maybe you're brand new to the kitchen and you don't quite know where to start, or maybe you want to start and you don't know where to start and you've never stepped foot in a kitchen before. Either way, we're going to be talking today, guys. I'm hoping these tips will help you out in the kitchen and everything like that. As I said, I know it's a big change from last week's episode, but as I said, this is going to be more of an off-topic kind of podcast, just whatever kind of strikes my fancy that week. I kind of want to appeal a little bit to everybody, everything like that. So without further ado, guys, we're going to go ahead and get started. And the first thing I will tell you is cooking is, first and foremost, it should be fun. The best part about cooking is that it's not all an exact science like baking, in my opinion. There's a lot more freedom in cooking than there is in baking. You can try out all kinds of flavor combinations. You're not reliant on chemical reactions nearly as much like you are with baking. You can't just mix and match ingredients like you in baking like you can in cooking. And for me, that's what makes cooking is you can take a recipe like teriyaki chicken and swap out, maybe you don't like chicken, maybe you want to have beef. You can swap out beef and you'll get pretty almost identical results if all you do is swap out that one item. You might get a little bit of a different flavor, but for the most part, the same concept will work across multiple ingredients. And you can pull an ingredient from a dish if it's something like you're allergic to, like you can pull onion out and it will change the flavor of the dish, but it won't ruin the dish unless it's an onion-centric dish. But that's probably the biggest thing I'll tell you guys is, the first and foremost, don't be afraid to experiment. Experimenting is a huge part of cooking, and there are no recipes that exist in the world today that weren't come about through experimentation. People just trying things, putting stuff together and seeing how it tasted. And you should do that. You will fail. It's okay. You can fail. I've personally failed multiple times on a lot of recipes where I've decided to try a little experimentation and come up with something new, and it's just failed. And that's okay. You can do that. There's nothing wrong with failure. But don't be afraid, guys. Cooking is an ultimate experience, and it's really the ultimate kind of, it's a lot like painting in that way. Your pot and your pan and your plate are your blank canvas, and your hands are the brushes and the tools in which you create your art. There's a lot of freedom in cooking, and you need to utilize that freedom. A lot of good chefs will utilize that freedom, and a lot of people that find cooking to be really enjoyable as a hobby utilize that freedom. But that's just something huge. It's just something that's really, really big. If you're not sure on what kind of dishes you want to make, if you maybe aren't sure if you want to look for recipes, that's okay. You can look for recipes to get your bearings in the kitchen. But, what I like to do is I will flip through, like, Better Homes and Gardens, stuff like that, and I will see, I take recipes as ideas, not as by the book code. I'm a little more advanced and a beginner in the kitchen, so I've been cooking for just shy of 14 years as a home cook. So I'm a little more experienced with that kind of thing. So maybe it's something you don't want to try right off the bat. Maybe you just want to follow a recipe. That's okay. You can do that. But don't be afraid, guys. Just look, if you see a dish that you like, my wife is a big fan of Sweet Fire Chicken from Panda Express. And last night I took Sweet Fire Chicken and made it myself. Pineapple, bell peppers, onions. Instead of breading chicken and frying it like they do with Sweet Fire Chicken, I just added chicken to a pan with some butter and browned it up and got the chicken going. And then I added the Thai sweet chili sauce and just let it cook into a reduction. And to a lot of people, that sounds like a foreign idea. But that's all just coming about from experience and experimentation and applying what I've learned on other dishes to this dish And that's a big part of cooking. So don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to be creative. It's super important that you are just not afraid of the kitchen. There are exceptions to the rules where experimentation is not necessarily the best way to go. Sometimes traditional is the best way to go. But if you are like me and you're adventurous, then you can absolutely just try new things, and don't be afraid, guys. It's okay to not be 100% all the time. And the next thing I will tell you guys pertaining to experimentation is to get yourself a core set of dishes that you know, dishes that you like to make. Not only does this help with meal prep and stuff like that, where if you're not sure what you want to eat, you have a fallback list of dishes that you like to make that are enjoyable for you to make and enjoyable for you to eat, but it also helps with, that whole experimentation aspect. You have that core set of dishes that you can then expand on by swapping ingredients out and mixing and matching and kind of playing around and everything like that. That's a big part of what got me into cooking, was the ability to take something simple like scrambled eggs, and maybe one day I'll add ham into it, maybe one day I'll add some turkey into it, maybe one day I'll add some goat cheese or some feta cheese or something like that. And that was kind of the basis of my roots, was starting at places like that, and from there I expanded and grew upon my knowledge and started creating things like omelets. I started putting in things like vegetables, and I started learning how to cook vegetables and eggs together in a pan so that they would end up at the correct level of done at the same time, so that you didn't either not cook your eggs and leave your vegetables, your vegetables are done but your eggs aren't cooked because you put the vegetables in first and didn't add, or whatever. So that's the kind of thing where you have to really, that experimentation aspect comes into play, but you find that core set of dishes that you know how to make, that you know like the back of your hand, and from there you can build upon your knowledge and everything like that. Don't be afraid if it takes some time for you to get used to doing some of the things I talk about in this podcast. It does take practice. Cooking is like any other skill. It takes practice and it takes work, but you can get good at it. It's a lot of it is just practice, and just repetition and everything like that. It's not so complicated that you just can't get to it. And I hope that you guys will take some of these recipes or some of these ideas and some of these things I talk about, and hopefully use them in your own kitchens, because that would be awesome. Next thing I'll talk about, guys, find a good knife set. And when I say a good knife set, I don't just mean an expensive knife set. Expensive is not always better. My knife set that I use is a set of Sabatier knives. It's a full block. It's got chef's knives, two Santoku knives, a fillet knife. It's got a full array of knives, and it comes with steak knives, which is really nice. But find a good set of knives, and you don't have to have a full block. That's a misconception amongst a lot of beginner people, is that they have to go out and buy a full block of knives. That's not entirely true. Anything you can do with a paring knife, you can do with a chef's knife. It's a little unwieldy to do it with like a big chef's knife, like a 9-inch chef's knife. So you should probably, if you wanted to get one good knife, I would suggest a 7.5-inch chef's knife or a 6.5-inch chef's knife. Depending on, you can find them in all kinds of lengths. There's a couple standard sizes, like a 7.5 or a 7, or you'll find them in like a 6-inch or a 6.5, depending on who makes it. Some manufacturers tend to go towards the longer end, but there's nothing you can't do with a chef's knife in a kitchen that you can't learn to do by practice. Chef's knives are very versatile, but I would suggest you have multiple knives in the kitchen, because it is important to avoid things like cross-contamination and stuff like that. You don't want to cut raw chicken and then go cut your vegetables, and having multiple knives in the kitchen is just really handy. But when I say a good set of knives, I mean get yourself a good large knife, like a chef's knife, or if you prefer the style of the Santoku visually, you can use a Santoku, that's okay. It doesn't have that rounded edge to it, so it's not going to be as good for dicing. and chopping, but it will be, it's still very versatile as a large knife. And then get yourself a nice medium-sized knife, like a bread knife or something like that, like a small bread knife or something like that, or a slicing knife, because if you ever cook something like a small ham, like one of those little, I think Hillshire Farm makes them, the boneless hams, it's important to have a smaller knife that you don't necessarily have to bust out the big old monster chef's knife to carve it up or anything like that. But it's important to have a good large knife, for a good utility knife is what they tend to call it. It's a utility knife, and it's your all-around, all-purpose, just have it around blade, and it's good for everything from chopping, dicing, slicing, carving, and everything like that. But it's, in my opinion, it's also good to have a medium or a short knife for small work in the kitchen, like cutting up apples, oranges, carving, like I said, carving small hams, or carving chicken breast and stuff like that. You can cut chicken breast off of a chicken, off a whole chicken with a smaller knife much better, much more efficiently than you can with a large knife if you're not as skilled with a large knife, because the weight of it is it's lighter, so you have better control over it. But that would be what I would say to you guys, is first and foremost, find a good knife set and make sure it's a good quality knife set. Don't buy cheap knives. Cheap knives are good in a pinch, but get yourself, go ahead, and if you're going to start as being a hobbyist cook, get yourself a nice chef's knife that will last you a while. Do some research online and get some brands. You don't have to buy a Wusthof or a Shun chef's knife to have it be high quality. You don't have to go spend that kind of money, guys. You can spend $40 or $50 on a good chef's knife that will, if you take care of it and you sharpen it and you hone it and you wash it and you treat it with care, it will last you years, as opposed to a cheaper knife that might break. It might, the metal might be inferior. It might rust if it's a high carbon steel. It might rust and it requires a lot more care and attention to keep a cheap knife good than it does to keep a expensive knife good. But the expensive knife still needs care and attention to last that length of time and get you your money's worth. And that goes for the smaller knife as well. Make sure if you go to a store, you don't have to go to like a super high-end specialty kitchen store. You can find good knives at places like Walmart, Kohl's. You can find them places like that. They're not going to be really great. They're not going to be anything you'd see like Bobby Flay using, but they're good for home hobbyist cooks. You don't need something that expensive. And that's the biggest takeaway, is I see a lot of people that use really just run-down cheap knives, and they don't understand why they don't enjoy cooking as much, or they don't enjoy cooking as much, and they feel like they should, and they just, cooking is a chore for them, and cooking shouldn't be a chore. Cooking should be, at least if you don't enjoy it, it shouldn't be you shouldn't dread going to cook dinner. And finding a good knife that fits in your hand really well. It's got an ergonomic grip. Find one, if you can, with full tang. Those are going to run a little more expensive, but they do last a lot longer, and they're a lot sturdier. Plus, with the full tang, all of the heft is in your handle, so it adds a lot more controllability, and it's not nearly as tiring on your hand, which is very, very good. And you don't want it to be a chore to go into your kitchen and slice up vegetables or peel an apple or anything like that. But find one that's ergonomic in your hand, guys. Find one that's got a good price point on it. It doesn't have to be a name brand. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. But find one that you feel comfortable using. And just make sure that if you're gonna get your money's worth, make sure that if you're paying $50 for a knife, that you take care of it, and that you make sure that you keep it sharpened, because a dull knife is not a good knife to use, and it will lead to more kitchen accidents because you have to put a lot more force behind everything you do, which can lead to slippage and everything like that. Obviously, no one wants to lose a finger or end up with a sliced hand, so make sure you sharpen your knives and keep them sharp, because it will allow you to cut things a lot easier. You won't have to put as much force behind it. It won't fatigue your hand and your arm nearly as much, and if you sharpen them and take care of them and wash them properly, a good knife can last you years. It's just one of those things. I know it's preached about on a lot of beginner cooking things, but it really is one of the most important aspects of a kitchen. Any chef worth his salt will tell you that the most important tool in his arsenal is a good knife. Without knives, chefs cannot do hardly anything in a kitchen regarding like any prep work. They can't do any prep work without a good knife. And a lot of chefs will prefer to use knives that they know versus knives that they don't, because if they know the knife, they know how sharp it is, they know how it handles, they know the weight of it, they know how to maneuver it and everything like that. And it's just super important to have one good knife that you can use for a long time. Next up, guys, is really important to have a good set of pot and pans. Good pots and pans are just absolutely important, because cheap pots and pans can burn your food, they won't heat evenly, they don't clean worth a crap, they're just garbage. Garbage pots and pans are bad. Get yourself a couple of good pots. I recommend a 2-quart saucepan or two. 2-quart saucepans are probably one of the most used things in my kitchen. I keep 4 in my kitchen at any given time, because at any given time in the week, I might be making a gravy, I might be making a soup, I might be making a barbecue sauce or a reduction, like, or some other form of reduction, like a red wine reduction or something like that. I might need 2 or 3 of those in a given week before I get a chance to sit down and do dishes. So it's just one of those things. Now, you can do dishes every night and you would only need one, but I recommend you get at least 2 2-quart saucepans, because in the same meal, there might come a meal where you need at least 2 2-quart saucepans. Those are really important. I recommend a good 5-quart saucepan, or if you can find them, you can find them at a lot of places nowadays. They're aluminum or stainless steel stock pots with really tall sides. I'd recommend getting a shorter version of that, like a 5-quart version of that, because if you ever cook anything with pasta, you're going to need something that holds that level of water to cook your pasta, which seems like a no-brainer, I know, but it's a podcast for people that maybe don't spend a lot of time in the kitchen, guys. So if you are familiar in the kitchen, maybe you'll learn something later on when we get into some other stuff. But for the beginners, 2 2-quart saucepans, a 5-quart saucepan, and I would recommend at least a good frying pan, a good skillet, whatever you want to call it, is somewhere in the medium size range. I don't know exact measurements off the top of my head. I think my medium size one is, I think it's about 5 inches along the base, and it's a total of 7 inches. It's a 7-inch skillet with angled sides that come up at an angle, and that's really good. It's what you traditionally would fry like eggs in, but you can do things like saute vegetables in it. You can do things like brown chicken in it or brown beef in it. You can do all kinds of stuff with just very simple pans. You don't need a bunch of fancy pans with all kinds of name brands and stuff like that. I mean, you can go to a place like Walmart and get yourself a decent pan for a good price. I mean, comparatively to what you would pay for, so you don't need a full set. I know, like, my wife and I, we bought a full set of kitchen pans, of pots and pans for our kitchen when we first moved into our house, and it came with this little tiny, like, they called it like the perfect egg pan, and it was this little like 3-inch skillet that was good for like just about one egg, and I threw it out because I'm like, I'm never going to use something like, I mean, I can't even brown half a chicken breast in this. I don't eat eggs that often, and I would rather just not have it in my cabinet cluttering up my pots and pan cabinet for nothing. So we're going to take a quick break, guys, for a sponsorship, and then we will be back after that. And when we get back, we're going to be talking about some more advanced things that maybe aren't for beginners, but some things that you can apply later on in your experience in the kitchen. What's going on, guys, and welcome back to the podcast. Now, maybe you're not a beginner in the kitchen. Maybe you have been cooking in the kitchen for a few years, you're comfortable with the basics, but you don't know quite how to up your game to the next level. Well, that's what I'm here for, guys. I'm going to teach you, or I'm going to tell you, a couple of tips and tricks to up your game to the next level. First and foremost, guys, invest in some cast iron cookware. If you've been cooking with the same cookware for a long time, you might think you know your cookware pretty well, and that's good. That's a good thing. You want to know how your cookware heats. You want to know if it has any hot spots in it, everything like that. But invest in some cast iron cookware. It can seriously up your game to the next level. Cast iron is great for cooking if you take care of it. You do have to take care of it. There is a lot of love and care that goes into taking care of things like a cast iron skillet, but it can seriously add a ton of flavor. It can brown your meats and you can cook in it, and it will just provide you an unholy amount of goodness in your dish if you know what you're doing, because nothing will sear like a cast iron pan. If you get a cast iron pan really hot with some oil or some butter in there, and you drop a chicken breast or a steak in there, it will sear that steak, and you will get a crust like you cannot get out of anything else, because it just gets that hot. It gets so very hot that it's just, it adds flavor just by the, for its sake of being hot. It causes chemical reactions to happen. You can brown in it, and it just, it adds so much flavor, and it's a really good thing, guys. So invest in some cast iron. I have a cast iron skillet that I love dearly. Whenever I make steak, I don't even grill my steak anymore. I take it, throw it in the cast iron, brown it up, get it nice and hot, and then I take it and throw it in the oven and let it finish cooking through it in the oven. I pull it back out, and it provides so much flavor on the outside of that steak because of all of that nice crispy browning on the end, on the outside of it, and everything like that, guys. It's so, so important to know how to cook with cast iron, but it can seriously up your food to the next level if you know how to know what you're doing. I also have a cast iron Dutch oven. I recommend getting a good Dutch oven if you are a fan of roasting and everything like that. It takes some time to learn how to roast things properly, because you have to know how long, you have to know when it's done, when it's not done, and everything like that. I recommend a meat thermometer as well. That will help you with your roasting game. But like my Dutch oven is cast iron, and I would recommend you get a Dutch oven. It doesn't necessarily have to be cast iron, but that's another thing that can up your game is a good Dutch oven. It's outside the standard norm of pots and pans that I would tell a beginner to cook with. But if you have been cooking on a stovetop a lot and you want to know how to like start roasting pork to get it like shreddable for pulled pork, and you don't necessarily have a slow cooker, or maybe you don't want to put it in your slow cooker, maybe you want to learn how to do it like the way I do it in a cast iron, go out and invest in a nice Dutch oven for yourself. They are seriously amazing. Dutch ovens are great. Cast iron skillets are great. And the next thing I will tell you guys is cooking with alcohol is another way you can up your game in the kitchen for relatively cheap, because a good bottle of wine will last you a few meals if you know how to portion it out and everything like that. But the one thing I will tell you guys to be careful with when you're cooking with things like wine or whiskey or brandy or anything like that, be sure that when you add alcohol to the pan, you're giving it proper time to cook off. When you add wine, a red or a white wine, or if you add like brandy to something, what you're looking for is the flavor of that alcohol without the actual alcohol in it, unless the dish specifically calls for a boozy kind of flavor. But you don't want your dishes to be boozy. You want the flavor of a good whiskey. You want that oak flavor from the barrel aging. Maybe it has a little bit of smokiness to it from that aging process. You want that kind of thing. You want that kind of flavor without the actual alcohol, the bite of the alcohol. So what you want to do is you want to make sure you cook off all your alcohol before you serve your dish. Otherwise, you can end up getting people pretty drunk if they end up really liking something and you added maybe too much to it or something like that. But it's very, very, you have to be very, very careful when you're cooking with any kind of alcohol to make sure you cook off all your flavorings, or you cook off all your alcohol and leave your flavorings behind. But other than that, guys, I would tell you the biggest thing I can tell you, and this goes for beginners as well as people experienced in the kitchen, is don't be afraid to experiment. To this day I have been cooking for 14 years, 12 years, I don't even know how long it's been so long, and I've been cooking in my home, I've been cooking for other people, I've been cooking, and it's just, experimentation is key. You can find out, you can make some seriously good recipes with just some experimentation, and as you learn to cook, you'll find flavor combinations that work well together that maybe you wouldn't have thought of otherwise. As you cook more, you'll start to realize that there are spice combinations that work well together that maybe you wouldn't have thought of before. But if you really just, you're not that imaginative, or maybe you just can't think of anything you want to do, do what I do whenever I'm stumped for a recipe, and just start flipping through a cookbook, or start flipping through something like A Better Homes and Gardens, or start going, if you're at a store, go to a store like a World Market or something like that, one of those nice like kind of department stores, but that's focused on food. Like World Market's got a lot of like spice rubs and stuff. And what I'll do is I'll walk through their spice section and I will just look at their spices and see, okay, well, if I mix that and that together, I could get kind of this kind of flavor, or that and that together, and I could get kind of this kind of a flavor. Look at their pre-mixed stuff and see what kind of flavors are they putting together in their pre-mixed containers to see what kind of flavors work well together, maybe that you aren't familiar with if you're not familiar with a spice or an herb's particular characteristics. Don't be afraid to ask questions, guys. Don't be afraid to learn, and don't be afraid to experiment. Cooking is one of the best outlets for creative people in the world, in my opinion, because you can seriously, nothing connects two people together quite like food, and nothing offers the level of freedom that is food related like cooking. Cooking gives you so much freedom because it's like I said in the beginning of the podcast, your pans, your pots and your pans and your plate is your blank canvas for your creations to shine, and your hands and your knives are your tools. They're your paintbrushes, they're your palette, they're your pigments. That's how you make your colors. That's how you make your plates and your everything come together to form this beautiful work of art on your plate. And it's how, I mean, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but my wife fell in love with me after I cooked her, after I cooked for her. And for a lot of people, if there's someone special in your life, whether it be your girlfriend, your mom, your fiance, maybe you're already married and you have a wife and you want to do something special for your anniversary, or maybe it's just Sunday night and you want to do something special for her because it's Sunday night, cooking a meal that blows her socks off is one of the most endearing ways that you can offer someone a gift, because a lot of people realize that cooking is a part of you. When you serve someone a plate of food, that's a part of you. That's your love and your care and everything that you feel for that person went into that plate of food, and they understand that inherently on some level, so that a lot of people feel very grateful when you cook for them. I won't say honored, but they feel very grateful when you cook for them, because they realize that for you to go out of your way to cook a meal for them, they must mean something special to you. And if for a lot of people, that's enough to, it can enhance the flavors of the food, and it can, and they, and it's just, it's really great, guys. Seriously, cooking is one of the ways I have connected with so many people over the course of my life. A lot of people don't realize I'm a cook, but I love cooking, and it's one of my favorite hobbies, and I want to help people get into the hobby if they really want to. So if you know anybody that wants to get into cooking, guys, don't hesitate to show them this podcast. Maybe, like I said, you listen to this podcast and you've spent some time in the kitchen and you're not quite sure how to up your game. Well, I've got some information for you guys there too. So thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at FloreneF. Don't forget to support me on Anchor. Thanks for listening, guys. It's seriously great. I love doing this for you guys. And if you have any questions, any comments, anything like that, guys, don't hesitate to send me a message on Twitter. You can send me a message on Anchor. Seriously, you guys are the best. And I hope that you will continue to support me throughout this year. Thanks for listening.